Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here.
Hey, Matthew, one of those names that pops up, seems like every few shows, there's a name and people who don't know who we're talking about kind of goes, "Wow, why don't you have him on the show? You're talking about it behind his back. What's going on?"
Yeah, you're talking about that guy.
I'm talking about that guy. Yeah. Mark DuPont is in the house. Hey, Mark, how you doing, bro?
Good. I'm that guy.
You're that guy today for sure, especially since you haven't heard it yet because we haven't put it out yet. We haven't posted it. But by the time this recording is done, Rebecca and Jason Shipp's episode will be there. And that's the most recently where we were talking about you and your ministry and helping people understand stuff that a lot of people don't understand. So I'm just so glad you're here, man.
Well, thanks, Ben. We got this.
So for those of the people that are listening, it's not everybody goes to Foothills listen. So everybody at Foothills knows a little bit about you. But could you kind of just give us a brief overview of your spiritual journey, how you got involved in the ministry that you're in right now, so they can just see a little bit behind the scenes?
Oh, well, I'll try to keep it short.
good luck.
Yeah.
It's not a short career.
Yeah.
No, over 40 years ago, I was getting involved in pastoral ministry, doing a certain amount of preaching, teaching, and focused on becoming a kind of a traditional pastor, church planter. In fact, I was involved in planting a church back then, as well as helping out with the leadership team at the church. But very unexpectedly, the first kind of prophetic ministry I was exposed to, many people have heard of him, Lonnie Frisbee.
Yep.
If you've seen the Jesus Revolution movie, he and another guy came to our church and ministered, and they had a prophetic word for me that as God had used Lonnie going around the world to help impart the Holy Spirit and to help churches realize what the Spirit was doing and saying, but that's what God was going to have me do with my life. And it didn't make a lot of sense to me. I wasn't at all familiar. I wasn't in those days even quite sure how valid prophecy was in New Testament times. But I felt a conviction deep within me, so I began to pray about it, and over a journey of the next 2 to 3 years, we began to see more and more things happen, not only the church I was based at in Escondido, but as I got invitations to minister at other churches, strong presence of the Lord, prophetic things coming forth, healings, miracles, from time to time, and over that first 3 years, God made it clear that although there is a pastoral side to me, as you know, all the churches Kim and I have been based at, whether it's been San Diego, worked with Mark and Dave in helping to start the church, and then in 92, moving to Toronto, being based in a church there, and then being based at a couple of churches in the Midwest of the United States, I've always been part of the pastoral team. There is a teaching, kind of pastoral teaching and preaching side to me, as well as counseling sometimes. But the primary thing in our life has been ministering to the body of Christ at large. And so for 42 years now, we've been doing that, traveling anywhere from 10 to 12, occasionally 15 days a month, going to all sorts of churches from Africa to Asia, across Europe, Scandinavia, a lot in the British Isles, and of course North America. And so that's been a huge part of our focus, helping the body of Christ know the times and seasons, but as well walking in the ways of God and realizing the ways of God.
Yeah, you know, it's really amazing, Mark. First of all, you have more frequent flyer miles than anyone but Jim Hammond, I think, that I know all over the world. And the reports that you come back with when you come back to Foothills, which is kind of your platform now, and, you know, And it's just amazing what God is doing all over the world, and the power of the prophetic and the signs and wonders that have followed your ministry. I actually brought a young man who was trying to make a decision on whether he was going to join the Mexican mafia or whether he was going to take care of business and get out of that direction. And I was pleading with him and told him, you know, that I had had this dream about him, that when my dog got out the gate because somebody didn't lock it and run over and killed, that I felt the same way about him. That if I didn't speak strongly enough to him about the direction that he was heading in, that there was just death and destruction. So he comes to a Mark DuPont meeting, midweek meeting. Now, those aren't primarily evangelistic.
Yeah.
You know, not big altar calls, give your life to Jesus. And at the end, after hearing you and seeing what had happened and everything, he came up and he said, I'm ready. I want to give my life to Jesus. And so the Lord just uses the power of the prophetic in such a powerful way. It's just amazing.
Well, the Holy Spirit is always evangelistic, isn't he?
Yeah, he sure is, because he's the one drawing, right?
Yeah.
Mark, one thing, especially for the people that do attend Foothills like we do, you really were intertwined right from the beginning. And I was wondering if you remember in the very beginning of the church, the two vines, that either vision or dream. I don't know if that came from you or if that just is something that got conveyed to Mark and Dave, but do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I had met Mark, I think in 83, possibly 84. I had been invited to speak at a gathering of five churches in El Cajon. And actually, the meeting itself was in a Catholic church that graciously hosted all these churches. And aside from a few people that come from Escondido with my wife and I for the meeting, I didn't really know anybody. And it was there at that meeting, I picked out this young, forlorn, lost-looking young man by the name of Mark Hoffman. And I prophesied over him that there was a call upon him to teach and preach the word of God and really have an impact as a pastor of the kingdom. I didn't know him, but he came up to me after the meeting and introduced himself, and we got to know each other. And it was after that, I think Mark may have been in between things. I think he had already resigned from the church he'd been on staff at. He was a little bit frustrated with the religious side of things. But he ended up starting a home group and building into a church, a home church group. And he introduced me to Dave. And there was a period of 2 or 3 years where the Lord, they encouraged me as a friend, as pastors, but I encouraged them in the moving in the spiritual gifts, praying for the sick, praying for people to be filled with the Spirit, prophesying. And even went on a couple of trips with me to Mexico, and I think they went on one or two trips with me to Sweden, and just kind of helped out, prayed for people, shared a bit. But and then I think it was on that trip in Sweden, I don't have a prophetic word, but some other people that they met for the first time in those meetings, some of the people in the churches that didn't know them from Adam, when they found out that they were pastoring two different home churches or church groups, had independent prophetic words. I think there were either 2 or 3 on that trip, counting what I had, that they were supposed to merge their churches together.
Unbelievable.
And I remember those vines, because there was 2 single vines and they grew together, right? Wasn't that part of it?
I think somebody, perhaps in the city of, it may have been Örebro, Sweden, I think I know the person who had that word. Yeah.
It's just amazing to me, because there's so many times, and that's something that we want a lot more of at Foothills, but we see it on a regular basis where the Lord will give a word that guys like me or people on the ministry team couldn't possibly know. And the fact that God cares enough, He is so for the people that we're ministering to, that He would allow that to happen time and time and time again.
Well, we saw that even this recent Sunday morning. Mike Van Meter was speaking. I didn't go to the Saturday night meeting. And I didn't know what Mike was speaking on, but I had those four verses I shared during worship from the pulpit out of, my mind's gone blank. I can't remember what psalm, but it was concerning those who are besieged to seek the Lord, trust Him, and He will give them strength and lead them through it. And then I caught the last 10 minutes of Mike's message in the first service. And as I said, I'd shared that during worship first service. All of a sudden, I realized, well, he's speaking on exactly what that prophetic word. People who are in situations where they're suffering, they feel overwhelmed, they don't see any way out of it, you know. And and it was just a great prophetic encouragement. And I don't know. Some people may have thought I knew what Mike was speaking on.
I did. Yeah, I sure did.
But it was the Holy Spirit just sovereignly wanting to encourage people that are suffering and going through huge problems, you know.
You know, and he confirms it in so many different ways. It just seems like you're right. There's a little planning committee that puts together the sermon, the worship, and the prophetic words that will be given. And that doesn't happen. It happens organically and supernaturally. And one of the things that I love about the freedom that Mark and Dave and now Neil has given is if you're hearing from the Lord, we make room for that during our service, which some pastors would be terrified to do things like that. But we really are hungry for the operation of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives, in our church, and in our community. So that kind of freedom really does set some things in motion. I did want to ask you, as we go to Rebecca and Jason, especially Rebecca, so the last episode, she told a little bit about these dreams that she had had. We didn't really go into depth in the ones before she was a Christian that were really, really terrifying, but she had had that kind of operating in her life, and then as she became a Christian, she started journaling them, and she didn't know about them, but she had one that just was confirmed by you from the pulpit, the same vision. It was always about water with her, and also, you know, the shopping cart, and the verse was exactly the same. And she went, what the heck is going on? And then you met with them, right, and talked to them about that and helped them to understand some of that?
Yeah, I had never met them before. I kind of recognized Jason because he gave a good video testimony, you remember, a few months ago about God working through kind of the extended family.
The guy in prison that he shared the Lord with, and he gave his life to the Lord over four phone calls from prison. Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah. But he approached me, I guess it was about a month ago now, and just mentioned what was going on with his wife, asked if I could meet with them, and so we did. And just as you said, I had had a dream, not a vision, but I had a dream back in October that I understood was about core people in our church, not just staff, but people in the ministry team, home group leaders, people highly involved, going into like a Best Buy or something like that with shopping carts loaded with, I don't want to say Apple products, but things boxed like Apple products, and their shopping carts were loaded with them, and I understood they were buying things they already had, but they were getting upgrades, and then they took them home, and I saw some of them actually in church meetings, some of them in home group meetings, some of them in everyday life, like at work or with neighbors, opening up those packages, and I'm sure you know exactly what I'm talking about, but one of the beauties of buying a new Apple product is it's kind of like an adventure opening up. It's so cleverly packaged, and you take one thing out, and you see this little compartment. You find some buds to go with it, you know.
Yeah.
And I understood that these folks from our church, there was going to be a fresh impartation of the gifts, the tools, the gifts of the Spirit to do the work of the kingdom. And the unpacking in these various scenarios was open up the gifts, various opportunities to pray with people, minister to people, encourage people, bless people. And so I shared that, I think, with our pastoral team, but then I shared it in late January we had a meeting down at Mission Bay, a weekend retreat for all the home group leaders. There were about 150 people there. Shared that, prayed with them. And then I shared it briefly on I think in February, we had one of our Wednesday worship meetings. And Rebecca and Jason were there. And she said, as you said, she was just blown away because I mentioned I had October. In October, she had a vision of being in a store with a shopping cart loaded up with things. And then it went from there to this huge wave of water coming and just like a tsunami. Well, they've been coming to Foothills, I think, three or four years. And I asked them, we were meeting in the conference room at the church office. And I said, you probably are completely unfamiliar with this vision I had of Jesus sending the tsunami wave over California. And they said, no, we haven't heard of that. So I took him right around the corner. We have the painting hanging on the wall.
Yeah.
Someone painted when I shared that word about 10 years ago of Jesus standing in the Pacific Ocean, the ocean coming up to his waist, and he's drawing one hand back, and then he moves one hand forward. And I didn't really realize it till after I had that vision that typically tsunamis are... First water comes away from the shore, and then the huge wave comes in. Mm-hmm. Water poured out all over Southern California from north of LA down to Tijuana border. And it created these reservoirs, churches, and ministries that were filled with the living waters of the Holy Spirit. And after that, our conversation just took off. And she related, I can't remember, it was four or five, maybe five different dreams she's had.
Yeah.
And one thing about Rebecca, although she has not had, I would say, very little training in the prophetic, I think she has a very good grasp on how to separate typical dreams, just normal dreams, dreams from too much pizza late at night. She's able to separate those kind of dreams from dreams that are inspired or given by the Holy Spirit. And as she shared, she just, as I said, related five, but as you mentioned, she's had many, all having to do with water, floods, good way, the living water sweeping over. And I, it could be beyond this, but I really had a sense that she's getting words of encouragement for us as a church. That God does have more for us than our eyes have seen, our ears have heard, more than we've experienced. And going all the way back to 94, when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit hit Toronto, I called up Dave and Mark, and they came immediately, came back. And for a year and a half, you all had special meetings here every Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. And I think, if I remember right, Dave and Mark estimate that probably 150,000 people from all over San Diego came. Spread out throughout the year and a half, and many, many people had wonderful encounters with the presence of God. And it's not that we live for revival. We seek first the kingdom day in, day out.
Right.
Yet, you know, the other really interesting thing about what Rebecca shared with me is she woke up one night and 333, where those three numbers of three were just burning in her. And I said, are you familiar with Jeremiah 33? And she said, I have now, because she looked it up.
Yeah.
Jeremiah.
She couldn't remember on the episode what it was. She said it was 33 something, but she couldn't remember when she was talking to us. What does it say?
But it says, ask of me, and I will show you great and mighty things to come. So
Mark, two things. One is, do you continue to sense, because we've been getting these words about this movement of God in essentially Southern California, do you continue to hear that? Do you see that happening? I mean, we're seeing a lot happening at Foothills in particular, but do you see that happening in the church?
A number of churches I'm involved with, most of my ministry is outside of California. In fact, probably 70% of it is outside the United States. But So I'm not, there are a number of churches I'm involved with. I've been Foothills in California. One is in Lancaster, California. Another is in Pasadena area, a Chinese American church. But I'm also been involved a lot over the years with two or three churches in Bakersfield. And the report I get and the things I've seen, I've been quite a bit recently with the church in Pasadena and Bakersfield, is things are really heating up. Now, would I say a full-blown revival is here? No. But I think it's helpful to distinguish between, oftentimes we think about revival like this huge, like a tsunami wave coming in. But on the other hand, what I do think is happening is the tides coming in. You know, and we look at, for example, Foothills. I think, if I remember right, both in 2023 and 2024, we baptized over 200 people each year. And I don't know if there's any way of ascertaining if this is actually correct, but I think I've heard Neil or maybe Mark or Dave estimate that probably there's been over 500 people have given their lives in the last 2 years to the Lord.
Yeah, that's easy to believe. I get to see the cards from the people who are new, who have given their life to the Lord or recommitted their life to the Lord, and it happens every single week without exception. So I would say
if, you know, we've seen over 400 people baptized in the previous 2 years and possibly over 500 people saved just in little old Foothills.
Yeah, yeah, just one place.
Something significant is happening, you know.
In little old El Cajon.
So, and I think this would really be a cool, to kind of educate people a little bit. One of the things that at Foothills and in my experience has been that the operation of the fivefold ministry is really important to the maturity and the effective ministry of the church. So what do you think about that? And do you see that we're seeing that in the church, that the fivefold ministry is actually very active? Or do you think we've got a ways to go?
Well, I mean, on one hand, you know, it's kind of like our sanctification levels. We may be miles beyond where we were at 10 years ago, but are we perfectly Christ-like? No.
No.
So, I you know, at Foothills, as you know, we tend to be low-key about titles, you know. So, most people in the church, they love to call us, you know, Pastor Mark, Pastor Neil, you know, Pastor Kevin, you know, and that's okay. But I don't think Mark or Dave would ever go around introducing themselves or refer themselves as apostles. But in the sense that God has used Mark and Dave over the years to really promote unity and the kingdom of God throughout San Diego County and beyond, including the impact, obviously, on Kenya through Youth Venture, Cuba,
Guatemala.
Guatemala. I would definitely say there's an apostolic function with Mark or Dave and with both of them. And, you know, possibly by the grace of God, I'm bringing in the ministry of the prophet, a bit of that itch.
Yeah,
we're very, very strong by the grace of God in evangelism, teaching. You know, it's as we say in our staff meetings, you can't come to Foothills for more than 3 weeks before you know where we stand on the hot topics of the day. We take seriously our commitment to make disciples of Christ, teach and preach the ways of God, the Word of God. And the pastoral is very strong, you know, with our counseling and ministering to people. So I would say, is there room for improvement? Certainly, there always is. I think, I know a few months ago, Neil, Mike, and I sat down, and they asked me if I thought, you know, there could be a bigger, not necessarily a platform, but a bigger influence for the prophetic, and I said yes, and we talked about some ways, and we're actually pursuing that this year.
Great.
For example, the the Draw Near and Hear conference in October is going to have a very much a prophetic flavor to it. You know? I'm pretty happy as far as how things are progressing.
Okay. I think there's people that don't necessarily understand, maybe at the church that they go to, they don't hear this conversation at all.
Right.
Could you kind of give a tutorial on the operation of the office of prophet in the New Testament and also for today? Because people think Old Testament prophet and it's like, oh no, he said it was going to happen on Thursday, it happened on Tuesday, we have to stone him and he's dead. It's a little bit different in the New Testament and currently, right?
It's very different. I've done eons of teaching on this, so I want to make it really concise, but one of the biggest differences is in the Old Covenant, Old Testament times, very few people could actually hear from God on a consistent basis. People were not what we call born again. They didn't have the Spirit of God dwelling with them. So there was an incredible weight upon the prophets because they, and sometimes the kings and a few of the warriors, there was the craftsman Bezalel, they were the only people that on a consistent basis could hear from God. So if one of the prophets prophesied something, they had to be accurate because there was so much weight placed upon their word. In contrast to that, in 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, you can all prophesy. And he said, let two or three prophets prophesy and then weigh the words. And so what that means is we have to discern, is the word right? And not only in the meaning, but the timing and things like that, their correct application. And so one way of putting it, in the Old Covenant times, the weight was upon the prophet to be perfectly correct. Today, the weight is upon the recipient of the prophecy to take the word and weigh it. Is it biblical? And is it specifically for me? And how do I apply it?
You know, one of the things, thanks for that, because I think that brings a little bit of clarity to some folks that don't understand it. But, you know, one of the things that I really see that, because sometimes you see people with a prophetic ministry and they kind of are not in submission to anybody and they're just kind of loose cannons. That can happen. But one of the things that the Lord has led Mark and Dave to is unity of the churches in this region. So they pray together every month and they stand with each other. And it doesn't matter, like some pray in tongues and some don't pray in tongues and they've got different end times. And that's beautiful because when the churches are operating in unity, there's incredible power and the Lord can really use this when we're working together. But you also have that with an association with in the prophetic community, right? That there's some things that you guys have agreed to and you signed an agreement of unity or whatever you would call it a few years ago, didn't you?
Well, it's been about 15 years, but
I was gonna say, yeah.
Back then, John Paul Jackson and I realized we had similar burdens because there were so many prophetic ministries and so-called prophetic ministries really out of whack, knowing their lifestyles, but also, as you mentioned, no accountability. And there'd be a number of prophecies going all the way back to 1999, the turning of the clock. There were a number of well-known prophetic ministries that prophesied Y2K was going to bring complete financial chaos throughout the whole world because the computer systems could not handle the changing of the digits going to 2000, and it was going to trigger with computer systems globally. But they said, first of all, there's going to be a financial crisis worldwide because of this. Number two, God's going to use it for revival. Well, neither one of those happened.
Oops.
There weren't any problems to speak of, and there wasn't any major revivals. Out of a number of people that prophesied that, only one or two came back and said, gosh, we thought we were hearing from the Lord. Please forgive us. And there's been a lot of things like that over the years, and John Paul Jackson and I, we realized we had a kindred set of values for the prophetic. And again, not that if we're less than perfect, we throw rocks, but there needs to be accountability to whom much is given, much is required. And so John Paul and I worked, we collaborated, we spent literally 6 months in our spare time, we weren't traveling and ministering, writing up what we called New Testament protocol, or protocol for New Testament prophets and prophecy. And it ended up being a 12-page article. And then at a gathering at John Paul Jackson's place in Dallas, we went over it again, and we had about three other prophetic guys join us to help edit it. And then there was a gathering with about 70 prophetic ministries, and I introduced all the articles. And it was not in any way to form any sort of governing body or to make anyone judge, but it was a plea that we all have a set of biblical standards and values. And one of those was being rooted and grounded in a local church. Another value was, if you've given a prophecy that you know is wrong, be accountable for it. And let it be a learning moment. And we, you know, we're not talking about condemning anybody.
Yeah.
Growing from that. And so that's something over the years I've taught on a lot about healthy New Testament prophecy. I think when we talk about the office of the prophet in the Ephesians 4, the ascension gifts, it's helpful to realize that gifting is significantly different from the charisma gift, as Paul talked about the gift of prophecy in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. The charisma gift is a supernatural ability, as the Holy Spirit speaks, to have a vision, have a dream, a word of knowledge, to receive revelation from the Holy Spirit. And that's a gift for serving people. But the word used for the gifts in Ephesians 4 is a different word. It's not charisma, it's the word domo. And you can't say, I want to be a domo prophet. It's like being a pastor. You're either born to do that or you're not. We all know horror stories of people that step into a pastoral role, but they're not really pastors, you know. And so it's not a job, it's a calling. And a couple of the distinctives I would say about the role of the prophet, the Ephesians 4 ascension gifts, is number one, they don't just bless people with prophetic words, but they build up the church. As Paul talked about the role of the apostle, the prophet, the pastor, teacher, evangelist. And that I see my role at Foothills not so much to prophesy over an individuals or even give prophecies, but that's just a means to end up building up, strengthening the body of Christ for the purposes of God. But number two, I really think those called to the domo, called created by God for the domo gift, they don't just give prophetic words to people, but they carry the word of the Lord. Like for about 15 years now, a word I've shared with gatherings of pastors and pastors' conferences globally is God's heart for sexual purity, and especially among leaders, but among the body of Christ. And I had kind of a part one 20 years ago while in Australia, and then I received a part two in Jerusalem about 8 years ago. But now we see of last 3 years, but it's been so dramatic. So many leaders, highly respected leaders with international ministries, their hidden sins, financial impropriety, sexual, sex outside of marriage, it's being revealed. God is cleaning house. And so I would use an example in my ministry, a seasonal burden that's gone on for several years. But I think the third thing, not only giving the word of the Lord as opposed to words of blessing, which are important. I don't want to say personal prophecy is not important. It is. But also, I think those called to the domo gift, they don't just move in the gifts, but they actually carry something of the presence of the Lord. I've so many places I've been, we'll have creative miracles happen where we don't even pray for the person to be healed. We might not even be aware they're there with that problem. But because of a superlative presence of the Lord, that I think is tied into the prophetic. There's a freedom. Like last May of last year, I was in Italy, and in a pastor's conference, we had a number of miracles, but one was a lady with a completely blind eye was opened up. Nobody prayed for her. She was just there in the meeting, you know. And I think oftentimes with the authentic apostolic, but also with the prophetic, God does signs and wonders, just the carryover of his presence.
That's so good. Hey, Mark, how can people find out more about your ministry, Mantle of Praise, and just follow up on some of this stuff? Because you've got a lot of great books and resources that are available to people who want to know more and to operate more fully in that gifting.
Well, the easiest way is just go to our website, markdupontministries.com, and it's Mark with a C.
There we go.
markdupontministries.com, and we've got tons of blogs on there. We have a number of video testimonies. We've got a number of articles on there, so the good, the bad, and the ugly. And find out about from the website.
Well, Mark, thanks for taking time. I really appreciate it. And it is an honor to serve with you at Foothills and, you know, to catch up with you from time to time when you aren't traveling all around the world.
Well, so likewise. We really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. God bless you. Thanks.
Blessings to you guys.